This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
None of this can erase the undeniable truth that the people of Palestine or anyone else who is brutalized, if they meet Allah Almighty with patience, they die upon their religion, and if they are gifted with martyrdom, then they have emerged victorious. Palestine will remain to be a place of tension between truth and falsehood. Muslims are to brace themselves for challenging years to come with many episodes of both glory and pain. During those moments of pain, we will ask the same questions. Will we be able to repel injustice, or will we be set back? Will they stay put on their land, or will they be ethnically cleansed again? And if it ends up an unfavorable outcome for a few days or months or even years, as we see homes flattened or children slaughtered or communities displaced, many will automatically assume defeat or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abandoned us. It's a knee-jerk reaction during the moment of a tragedy. But would it be the case? Would it be an accurate portrayal of reality? I share with you the following words to prepare us for those painful chapters so that we view it all correctly, so that we are not consumed by the moment of sadness, so that our iman remains safe during tragedy. You cannot understand Palestine if you don't understand martyrdom, a term that has, unfortunately, in the eyes of some, become synonymous with cruelty or indiscriminate killing or irresponsible behavior. I draw on the word martyrdom simply to remind of a concept that has been forgotten by the modern man in the West, to console the hearts of the bereaved. Shahada, which we translate as martyrdom, means witnessing in the Arabic language. One interpretation as per why the martyr is given the name shaheed or witness is لأن الله وملائكته يشهدون له بالجنة, because Allah and His angels witness that he is an inhabitant of paradise. Interestingly, the online etymology dictionary links even the English word martyr to the concept of witnessing, subhanAllah. According to the Quran, shahada is the greatest status humanly attainable after that of nubuwa, prophethood, and then siddiqiyya, to dedicate yourself to the truth and confirming the truth of Islam and living by it. And furthermore, shahada includes those who, for example, die in a plague, or die by drowning, or burning, or childbirth, or defending life, wealth, or family, or by a building collapse, or falling off a mountain. In fact, Imam Ibn Hajar, he said that we have gathered in the causes of martyrdom more than 20 ways of attaining it via the authentic reports. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, he chooses martyrs from among you. So those righteous souls that rose as martyrs were never random deaths. That bomb, for example, that erupted, causing the death of some and the sparing of others, that's not arbitrary. Those who died were fine people who had previously led fine Islamic lives, and so they were nominated by Allah Almighty for the status. So no suffering for them in their grave, no suffering on the day of reckoning, no suffering for their families for whom they intercede. They are granted the uppermost levels of Jannah near the King Allah, the Sovereign. So that in of itself is a huge victory and a huge consolation for the oppressed. And that is why Haram ibn Milhan, a messenger of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was deceitfully slain by Jabbar ibn Salma in the event of Bi'ru Ma'una, who drove a spear through his back and the point emerging from his chest, he exclaimed at that moment, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba, I have triumphed by the Lord of the Kaaba, before then passing away at the scene. But those words of I have triumphed by the Lord of the Kaaba continued to haunt Jabbar, leading him to question how Haram could claim victory now that he had died. Then he was told that in the Islamic faith, Haram's death was considered martyrdom, shahada, and is therefore a supreme victory. And this revelation, this news, put pushed Jabbar to journey to Medina, where he ultimately took his shahada and became a Muslim. So never allow the sight of brutality and death, destruction, to cause you to lose sight of the bigger picture of life, that we are fundamentally passers-by in the life of this world. We are here to carry out a short exam, and then we pass away and move on to the next phase of the long journey that ends with paradise or hell. So if it's not through war, illness will be what claims us. If it's not through illness, then it's a car crash that claims us, and so on. But we must all die. As Ibn Nubatat al-Sabti, the poet, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَمُتْ بِالسَّيْفِ مَاتَ بِغَيْرِهِ تَعَدَّدَتِ الْأَسْبَابُ وَالْمَوْتُ وَاحِدُ. Whoever does not die by the sword will die by another means. He said, the causes of death are so many, but the outcome, meaning death, is the same. So whilst everyone shall die, it's a minority who are chosen as martyrs. Whilst death is a standard for everyone, martyrdom is unique. When we see the human cost of Zionist brutality, some will instinctively ask, what did they do to deserve this death, those poor people? Why not, however, reframe the question in light of what you have just learned by asking, what must they have done to deserve the gift of martyrdom? The same approach should be taken when confronted with the sight, that heart-wrenching sight of innocent children who are brutally killed, a scene that pulls at the deepest emotions of most human beings, at least. It's natural to question the tragedy. But again, instead of asking, they experienced so little of life, what did they do to deserve dying so early? Why not reframe it and ask, how kind is Allah to give them the eternal embrace of paradise despite having experienced so little of life? That child, despite the pain of losing him or her, gets the results that you and I have to spend a lifetime chasing and sacrificing for without needing to do anything but to pass through the gateway of death. That's, of course, not to desensitize us from the pain or to normalize the killing of a child, God forbid. But the idea is to manage the pain when it happens. And it was the prophetic way of consoling those who've lost children. In short, when pain befalls us in Palestine or any other part of the world, issues of faith and doubt can arise when we apply an inaccurate and deficient definition of victory, limiting it to the strategic one, the military one, or to the saving of lives, or protection of land, or safeguarding of assets. These are the people with this misunderstanding who you will hear leveling blame at Allah Almighty and objecting at His Qadr, His decree. Why have you abandoned us? Why have you allowed this to happen? No, it wasn't that Allah has abandoned us, nor that He had failed in His promise. It's simply a question of us having misunderstood of what His promise looks like. So then we hold Allah accountable for our misunderstanding. None of this can erase the undeniable truth that the people of Palestine or anyone else who is brutalized, if they meet Allah Almighty with patience, they die upon their religion, and if they are gifted with martyrdom, then they have emerged victorious. And this triumph cannot be erased by bombs or tanks or ethnic cleansing or genocide. Those images of steadfastness and contentment with all what Allah Almighty has decreed, they are recorded now in people's memories and recorded in history. The matter is settled. These are the criteria for success and victory that we must use not only in Palestine, but in every part of the world that experiences a similar injustice.